Hey guys, and welcome back to my podcast, Lovely Little Things. My name is Katie, and as you know, today we're diving into our discussion on how narratives shape our modern world. We will unpack the demands of social narratives and how they give way to our future decisions. This episode, we're delving into the American dream. Quick flashback to episode one, a reminder that narratives are all the stories and values that have molded all aspects of our lives, beliefs, cultures, values, and customs. Narratives also include our social narratives, largely the ones that can convey dangerous ideals, such as the promises of the American dream. Our world is energized by narratives. They impact us in a multitude of ways. Even the meaningless stories influence our morals and values. Narratives exist in a cycle. A dominant narrative emerges, and often from that, so do resistant ones. We see past experiences being brought up time and time again, persisting on being known, shared, and they come forward as warnings for future generations. Today we discover the implications of the American dream in various contexts. Through the integration of cultures in Minari, and as this immigrant family comes to access the promise of a better life in America, a film set in the 1980s, and an assimilation success story, we come across the enterprising foundation that the American dream is available to all Americans, as long as you adopt the American values and ideals. Whilst throughout The Great Gatsby, a novel set in the Jazz Age, it becomes tragically evident that the American dream is unattainable and never going to be substantial enough for an individual that isn't already drenched in privilege and esteem. In the 2020 film Minari, director Lee Isaac Chung challenges the American dream as a social narrative by highlighting the reality for most immigrant families is a poverty cycle they just can't escape. The father Jacob's usefulness paradigm ends up fracturing his family unit. Jacob adopts ideals of individualism in place of his communal Korean values, thereby highlighting the family consequences which ultimately causes the fracturing of his family, leading to the implying nature that the American dream is available to all Americans as long as you adopt the American dreams and ideals and values. The juxtaposition between the close-up of the blindfolded dowser with Jacob's assertion that Korean people use their heads to draw attention to the cultural clash between American folk tradition and Korean secularism to highlight Jacob's identification with an outsider within his own cultural context. Jacob's family must rely on their simple logic and intuition as their only means of support. In this scene, Chung therefore represents American capitalist structure that is otherwise inaccessible to immigrant families. Chung uses the idyllic scene of their family as Jacob drives his tractor in slow motion, coupled with the sprawling shots of his Edenic family farm, to grant dream that quality to highlight Jacob's fleeting experience of the American dream. However, ultimately, the audience is aware that complications will ensue, ultimately drawing us closer to the picture of the American dream being unachievable for those who exist on cultural margins. This segues us nicely into the narrative seeping through The Great Gatsby. The Great Gatsby consolidates stability as we uncover the fallacies of the American dream. Fitzgerald critiques the idea that America is a meritocracy in which anyone can rise to the top with enough work throughout Gatsby's failed attempts to have Daisy. Fitzgerald represents this critique through the symbolism attached to that huge incoherent failure of a house as a sign of the failing of the American dream, a hollow house, a hollow dream. Through Nick's reflection of Gatsby's dream of Daisy, he states it was already behind him. In other words, it was impossible to attain. We see the state of the Roaring Twenties, where a dream of a better life coupled with a brighter future remains just a single light at the end of the dock, minute and far away. So close, yet so far away, isn't it? Fitzgerald accurately describes the way in which someone is judged by their status through the zoomorphic metaphor. It is what preyed on Gatsby, what foul dust floated in the wake of his dreams that temporarily closed out my interest in the abortive sorrows and short-winded elations of men, alluding to not only a moral pollution, but an environmental pollution from the Second Industrial Revolution. With money comes power, and Tom Buchanan definitely decided to show us his power in Chapter 7. Fitzgerald displays Tom's power with the explicit contrast of Tom and Wilson's response to finding out Daisy was having an affair. This is exhibited again as Tom makes Gatsby drive Daisy home. His determination for Gatsby to feel small and insignificant symbolizes the smallness and insignificance we feel as we discover the truth about the American dream, that it is not accessible to all. Both Fitzgerald and Chung represent the role of tragedy, to be a guide to do something and a message to tell everyone. Chung's penultimate scene depicts the emotional nadir of their family, paired with the deliberate shots set against the backdrop of the towering inferno to highlight for the family that everything is balancing on a knife's edge, and all can be lost by a single mistake. Similarly, Fitzgerald represents this same image as Gatsby unravels the ongoing events surrounding his and Daisy's relationship. Fitzgerald uses an egalic tone as Nick speaks about Gatsby giving up on his dream of Daisy in Chapter 8 to teach us that human life is fragile, that violence and horrible loss can happen without warning, and the plans by which we live our lives cannot protect us from disaster, just as it was in the 20th century. Now, that's all we have time for today, but don't you worry, we'll be back here same time next week to talk more about these stubborn social narratives that demand to be heard, just like this podcast. Thank you.